I've titled my message tonight, or today, this morning, Lies of the Mind. Lies of the Mind. You see, lies of the mind, I believe, come from the heart. We can think whatever we want, but usually what's in the heart will come to the surface eventually. Be a part of the mind. Lies of the mind. I suppose I'm probably the oldest one here, I think. I remember, and you people will remember as well, when you were in grade school, or primary school even, and you'd come to class. Now, I'm not picking on anybody, but I know this happened to me and some other people I know. You come to class a little late, and the teacher would ask to see your excuse that your mom gave you. You knew it was going to be a hard thing to do because you didn't have one. The reason being, you were without excuse. You left the house in a tither. You procrastinated all the way to school. Even thought about playing hooky that day. That's the kind of mood you were in. Or maybe you can blame it on the traffic lights. They were so slow this particular day in turning. And all you got to do is hope that your mother will back you up when the lie gets back home. You wouldn't want your mother to lie for you now, would you? Well, I think we've all been in a situation where we would. Maybe we don't want to admit it. But especially when Dad's coming home and you're thinking, oh, well, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it when he comes in and finds out, and I go to Mom and I say, don't tell him, don't tell him. I promise I'll do better. Try to bargain with Mom. You told a lie, a big lie. And now you're going to have to answer for it. Sometimes Mom will say, well, okay, but don't let it happen again. Then there are times when she'll say, you are going to be sorry. I promise you that. Dear old Mom. Been a long time since my mom passed away. Isn't it funny? Well, not really. Actually, it's a bald-faced lie. You all know what a bald-faced lie is? Well, it's not a person who has a beard. That's the saying we used to have when I was a child. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. That's a bald-faced lie. And what about God? Huh? What about God? Now, if we look at Romans 1, 24 to 28, Romans 1, 24 to 28, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Pretty heavy stuff. What we find out here is that God will not aid or abet a sluggard. You're on your own, pal. You're on your own. Now, what does verse 28 really say? Well, God did what? God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, I'm not going to say, ask you if you've been there, because I think we've all been there at one time or another. If not, since we knew God even before that, to do those things which are not convenient, not pleasing unto God. My, oh my, how convenient we want God to be at times, don't we? But God's not our bellhop. He's our Savior. Our Savior. Therefore, we should get on our knees and ask His forgiveness. In Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, even Christ. How convenient it would be at times if we could get away with that little lie that lurks in the back of your mind just so you can have a good day. Well, that's not a big problem. I'll just get over this and get on with things. God won't mind. I've been there. I've done it. But you know what happens? I always find out that God won't let me forget it. He won't let me forget it until I bring it to before the throne of grace and ask Him to forgive me. Get on your knees. Seek His forgiveness. God loves to help His children, especially if they trust and obey. Tell me. Well, don't tell me, but think it in your own mind. Do you trust and obey? Or do you try to take advantage of His mercy and grace? You know, His mercy and grace are so wonderful. It's easy to take it for granted and take advantage of it. Well, here's some good advice. Simply stated, don't mess with God. Don't mess with God. We go to James, the book of James 1. James 1. Verses 5 and 6. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Wavering here could mean I don't know if I should or not. Maybe I'll let it go, or next time I'll give it some extra thought. Are you driven by the wind and tossed? It might sound silly, driven by the wind and tossed. Well, over here in a ship at sea, you would be. But we're not talking about being in a ship at sea. We're talking about what's in your heart. Are you driven with the wind and tossed, or are you on the level with God, the God of all creation? Are you on the level with Him? Only you know for sure. You know, many people refer to their pet, the dog, cat, whatever, as their best friend. Hey, that's my best friend right there. Okay. That's okay, I guess, in a way. But what about your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister? What about all them? Can you have more than one best friend? Wouldn't that make a best friend amongst that group over there less than the one standing next to them. You can only have one best of anything. God's Word is the best. You can't settle for anything less or anything that comes close to it. Now, I always use John 3:16 when I give this example. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, begotten is taken out of a lot of Bibles. And one of my favorite examples is the NIV, because I have a relative who used to use the NIV, but he's gone on to the ESV now. And I told him about that. I said, you know, you took out begotten. That's a crucial word, begotten, because there's only one begotten of God. Only one, Jesus Christ. We are all sons and daughters of God if we are in His family, if we're saved. But there's only one begotten of God, one. Getting back to the pets, most people do prefer an animal as their best friend. I pity these people because they're very lonely and they have a hard time making friends for reasons I can't quote. But one thing they can be assured of, their dog or their cat or their mouse or their bird or whatever will never, never turn on them, never be unfaithful to them. And I think that has a lot to do with it. But you know something? God will never turn on you either. And His faithfulness to you is decided by your faithfulness to Him. You know, like I say, the dog or the cat will never tell you that you're wrong, or that you're mean, or that you're ugly, or that you're a big fat liar. No matter what, you can beat a dog and 10 minutes later you can call him over and he'll come running to you wagging his tail and cozy up to you. Is it because they love and trust you, or is it because they fear you? Isn't that the way it is where God is concerned with some people? Oh, I better not do that. God might bring the hammer down. We're supposed to fear God, but it's a reverence fear. It's not a fear of, are you going to get clobbered, or are you going to get, you know, lose your job or whatever? No, it's a reverential fear. You can give a dog a good kick, and like I said, he'll shy away from you. Think about it. You're in control. You're in control how you treat not only the animals in your life, the people in your life, but God. When it comes to God, He is in control. Tell me, is God your helpmate? Is He? Is He your ego booster? In many of today's churches, God is neither. Neither. James, the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, I read it before, but I just want to read verses 7 and 8. For let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You just can't go to God and say, you know, I need this, will you give this to me? And you've been just wretched in sin and couldn't care less if God was there or not. But somebody said, trust in God, believe in God. So you decide, well, I'll give it a try. No, you don't give God a try. You give God your heart. You give God all of yourself. Some people try, it doesn't work. Oh, I prayed for this. I prayed and didn't get it. Really? How long did you pray? Almost, well, that long. Oh, that's too bad. Did you ever think of continuing in prayer? You know, we got a life to live too. We can't be on our knees all the time. No, we can't. Well, maybe you should get to know who God is, first of all. A lot of people who don't belong to God, who are not in His family, will expect help from God when the chips are down. When things go awry. They'll expect God to be there, like the proverbial bellhop. But He's not. Over in 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, Timothy writes, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Without getting angry or doubting if God's word is final, if God's word is true. If you're going to doubt, look out. Doubt has no place in the heart of a Christian. Give God the preeminence He deserves in your life. Don't say, well, I don't think God will answer that. Well, that's too stupid. Well, God likes stupid people. I know. No more than that. Tell me, even as a Christian, do we not sometimes search for the easy way out of any situation, even to the point of changing the wording in your initial promise? Well, you promised you'd do this. Your word says you promised it. For example, you promised to take your family for a day at the shore, out to the beach. But you had already checked the forecast before you made the promise. And there's a strong possibility of rain. But you failed to make this information known to your family. On the very day you're supposed to leave, you tell everybody the weather is not going to be good. Sorry. So sorry. A Christian father would not have been so deceitful. Liars, liars. Well, I'm not going to call you guys liars, but I'll say this, we're all liars at times. You know the old saying, liar, liar, pants on fire? Well, you may have disappointed your family through your trickery, but remember, God knows your heart. That's vital. God looks upon the heart. God knew you would be deceitful with your family because you planned it that way. You heard the long range and you knew the weather would probably be bad and you didn't want to go to the shore, so you let them plan that day to go to the beach. My friends, we can dress up a lie and even sugarcoat it. But it's still a lie. It's still a lie, no matter how you present it. A lie is a lie. And God knows it more than anyone. Although a lie is a lie, we have the tendency to categorize our lies. Put them in specific categories. What's a white lie? Is that a lie only a white person commits? What's a black lie? You know the rest of it, eh? What about a fib? We all fib, I think, sometimes or other. But it's not as bad as a lie, is it? God knows. Like I say, God knows your heart. You can call it whatever you want. You can make it sound pretty and clean it up. Underline it. Sugarcoat. Do whatever you want, but it's still a lie, and God knows it's a lie. When I was a Catholic, the priest said that lies, like any sin, come under two headings. Two headings. Mortal sins or venial sins. The mortal sins, the granddaddies, the big boppers, were considered deadly, and they may or may not keep you out of heaven. On the other hand, the venial sins, like you did or did not call your brother a pig, were very light in consequence, and were usually forgiven with a simple regret like, "Sorry." Did you know that lies make God sick? Also, that the tiniest lie of all can keep you out of heaven. While you spend some time, and this is Catholicism again, while you spend some time in purgatory, watch out for purgatory. But only if you're a Catholic. And there are some lies that God hates more than others. I mean, he hates all lies, hates all sin, but there's some lies that he hates more than others. Of course, lies like omission. Omission, the most famous of all, is changing or deleting God's written word from his precious book. Now we got over or around or about 400 versions of the scriptures out there. Now, there can't be any two that are exactly alike. That's amazing how there could be 400 minds that are all different, but they stay close enough to the truth that they can deceive you into believing the rest of what they have put in there. Begotten Son is one example, as I gave. 1 Timothy 4:1-4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. I'll stop there. Over in Psalm 101, verse 7, we read, "He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." Wow, that's pretty good. That's quite final, isn't it? Deceit and lies kind of go hand in hand, right? I got a bag of lies on this side, and I got a bag of deceit on this side. Mix them all together, and you come up with the same thing. In Proverbs, we read, "A false witness shall not go unpunished, or shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape." A lie by any other name is an abomination. An abomination. All liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. Tell me something. You might take exception to this question, but are you saved? Now, we only have a small group of people. I'm of a mind that you're all saved. But who am I? That's why I ask the question. Are you under the blood of Christ? Are your sins, past, present, and future, washed in the blood of the Lamb? You see, once you've repented and given your life over to Christ, then you need not fear what the devil can do. No fear, no fear. You see, he who is in you is far greater than he who is in the world. When you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the restraining force against sin, dwells within you. Why? To strengthen you, to help you understand right from wrong. Don't forget, the Holy Spirit is the same as God. Third person of the Trinity, right? Now pay close attention to this next part as I get close to the end, which so many people have trouble believing. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you all probably know it by heart, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, you can't save yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I've heard a lot of that. In fact, when I was a Catholic, I used to boast that I was going to heaven. Nothing was further from the truth. It's a gift, a gift. When you receive a gift, it's yours to keep. You cannot give this gift back. Some people will return a gift to the store or to the person who gave it to them. That's not the same. We're talking about a gift of eternal life. It's not transferable. You can't take it back. A lot of people say, well, I used to be saved, but then I heard a preacher one day saying this, and I decided to get on saved. How do you get on saved? I really don't want to know, but you can't. You can't. The fact of the matter is, you were never saved to begin with. It's a gift. It's yours to keep. You don't buy it. You don't earn it. It's free for the taking, paid in full by the blood of the crucified Christ. And if you think for 1 minute it can be taken away, then you never had it to begin with. You never had it to begin with. So if there's any doubt in any mind of yourself or those you know, well, I don't know how long I'll keep it, but I know I had it yesterday. No. Talk to them. Pray with them. Pray for them. Salvation is final. No refund. No giving back. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to deliver this message, Lord, to prepare it and to make it known, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you were pleased with it, and I pray, Lord, that the ears that heard it, Lord, will understand what was said here today. But most of all, Lord, I pray that you be glorified and that Jesus Christ, your blessed Son, in whose name I pray, will be lifted up. Amen.